part of the Mike Investing story, as a part of this awesome organization that we call Better Investing. Today, I am excited to hear from and learn from Bill Baker. I'm only going to introduce him. I'm going to introduce her. But I want to just thank all of you for joining us on My Investing Story. We're Better Investing volunteers. I'll tell you a little bit about Better Investing. We have a number of our board members and directors on the line with us tonight. But we will talk about Better Investing in just a moment. Because right now what I'd like to do is to introduce a very special person to me. And she's also known as the baby billionaire, Iona McMill, which is co-hosting with me tonight. And she has the pleasure and the honor of introducing our special guest. So without further ado, let me introduce to you the baby billionaire, Iona McMill. Good evening, Iona.
Napoleon Hill said, quote,
and I think you might be on mute, Iona, if you're talking. You're on mute.
Are more powerful than
good evening. Yes. I heard everything you said, but I know on Block Talk Radio it was showing the commercial. So if, and then we can't hear you on Zoom.
All right, so Michelle, we'll take care of that. So
can you come off of mute on Zoom, please?
Pardon me?
We can't hear you on Zoom.
I'm able to hear on Zoom, Ione, but I wonder why you're not.
Okay, Ione, can you hear me now, Ione?
Oh, maybe it was me the whole time.
Okay. All right, Ione. Thank you so very much.
Okay. So, yes, right. My name is Ione. I'm also known as the Baby Billionaire. I wrote a children's book on investing called The Baby Billionaire's Guide to Investing. And we have a special guest. We're going to name him Bill Baker. I know his name on the screen says William Baker, but Bill Baker, where are you located? And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Ione. I'm located in the Bronx, New York, and you may hear right now some banging and car horns in the background. Some of you may be familiar with in New York City. They have a tradition at 7 p.m. every night. Everyone blows their horns and bangs on pots and pans to kind of honor the workers in the hospitals, the frontline workers. So you may hear that in the background going on right now.
Okay, cool. Bill, I know you're a special guest from one of Better Investing's board members, Jackie Kosky. When did you... Anybody that signed up for the podcast probably read a little bit about your story, but could you walk us through where you were maybe 15, 20 years ago before you sitting right now, here right now?
15, 20 years ago, I was coming out of a marriage. I had been married for 23 years, and the divorce was really difficult. It took over a year, and we fought over a lot of different things, and just my whole life had changed. There were some other things that were going on in the background, and my life had changed. So I was kind of, I won't say very emotional, but I wasn't in the best mental setting at that time.
Okay. When we're growing up, usually as a kid, we have our first experiences with money, whether it be getting money from aunts and uncles to go to the candy store or get an allowance. Could you talk to us a little bit about your first experiences with money?
Wow, I didn't know you were asking me that. Okay. It's an interesting story. My father, he would come home every night and he would sit at the kitchen table and he would look at the, I'm going to date myself. You remember newspapers and it had the stock section, the stock market section, had all the numbers and everything. And I'm a little boy, I didn't know what it was. And I would see him, he would sit there every night and he would circle different things, but he never talked about it. And he was investing in stocks, but he never, ever talked about it. Until one time, I remember he called me over and he says, Billy, take a look at this. I took a loss here. He said, but it's only a loss on paper. He said, if you don't sell it, it's not a loss. It's only a paper loss. So if I don't sell the stock, I'm okay, as long as it comes back. That's the only thing he taught me about stocks. And I think about it now. I said, if he had just talked to me and taught me back then, maybe I'd be a baby billionaire like you, possibly. It might be possible. But he didn't talk about it. And talking about money, getting money was always like pulling teeth because we didn't have a whole lot of money. We weren't broke. We were middle class. But the marriage wasn't great between him and my mother. And so when I would go to her for money, she didn't have it. And she'd send me to him. And I remember I really didn't want to ask him because I knew it was going to be a long, drawn-out story, but ended with no. So that was kind of my experience growing up with money. Until I was around 14 years old, I got my first job, got my working papers. I was excited, and I started working. Then after that, I always had money because I worked.
Wow. So let's fast forward. How did you hear about Better Investing, and when did you become a member?
Well, recently, I believe it was back in January, I started listening, well, a little bit before January, I started listening to Choose FI. I don't know if you're familiar with the podcast. It's the FIRE community, Financially Independent, Retire Early.
And yes.
So Choose FI is one of the podcasts that I would listen to and I would learn about how to retire early. And one day there was this woman they were interviewing named Jackie Cummings Kosky. And, you know, I'm listening to the interview, and it was interesting. And all of a sudden, she said, yeah, and I joined an investment club. And that caught my interest. I said, investment club? Because I had started a book club with some of my friends about maybe a year and a half ago. And from time to time, money would come up, and we would talk a little bit about it. So when I heard investment club, I said, oh, maybe my guys, we could join an investment club. So what I did was I reached out to Jackie. I sent her an email. And I didn't know if she was going to answer it or not, but I just let her know what was going on. And fortunately, she answered me. And we emailed each other a couple of times. And then finally, I said, hey, can we talk on the phone? And ever since then, Jackie's been a big, big help to not only to me, but to my friends as well. And
wow.
Here I am tonight because of Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie. I think we both owe Jackie a great thank you. Because the point of this show, My Investing Story, is to feature different Better Investing members of all walks of life, whether you're a new member, whether you've been in it for decades, but everybody has a story about their relationship with money, about their journey to investing, whether they learned it from overhearing their father talk to a stockbroker or watching their father look at the money section of the newspaper, or just flipping through the channels and wondering why this one channel has these letters and numbers scrolling across the bottom. So we're really interested in hearing everybody's story, especially if you are what I will call a normal person with a normal life, but you also happen to be an investor.
Yes. Well, can I tell you how my life was and
really
turned things around for me? What even got me involved with even wanting to know anything about money? This happened back in 2015. I was in a lot of debt, about $24,000. Maybe to other people that's not a lot, but for me that's a lot of debt. And like I said, I had just gotten divorced and I moved here to the Bronx. And I'm going to work one morning. It's about 8:45 in the morning, bright, sunny morning. And my car is parked on a very busy street in the Bronx. It's like a four-lane street and a lot of traffic, people walking, gas station. And as I'm walking to my car, I'm looking, and it looks like somebody is sitting in the front seat of my car on the passenger side. But I'm saying, no, it can't be. They must be sitting in the car behind my car. And as I got closer to the car, I could see there was a man sitting in the passenger seat of my front car. So I go over to the car, and when he sees me, his eyes just become really big, and I could see that my window was broken, and I look in, I could see that my radio was hanging down by the wires. The dashboard was all broken. He was stealing my radio. So I walk over and I go, "What are you doing?" And at this point, he knew he was busted. So this is what he does. He starts to crawl out of my car through the broken glass. I don't know why he didn't open the door and just step out. I don't know why, but anyway. He's crawling through the glass, and so I'm watching him crawl, and I'm wondering, what am I going to do? And when he finally gets out, this is what the man says. He looks me dead in the eye, and he says, It wasn't me. What? It wasn't you? What? I mean, I couldn't believe this man. I mean, I was so mad. I don't know if it was the stress of life, but I was, I'm looking, my window is destroyed. My car is all messed up. And you're going to insult my intelligence now? So, Ione, I hit him. I actually punched him. Yes, I did.
I was waiting till you got to that point. Cause...
Yeah, I threw the first punch. So now we start fighting. And we're swinging wildly because neither one of us knew how to fight. And we're wrestling, and I'm yelling to people, call the cops. He was in my car. Call the cops. Call the cops. And people just standing around looking. It's the Bronx.
It's New York. It's like
showtime. It's like showtime. So they're looking, and we're wrestling on the car, and we're going back and forth. And he pulls out of his pocket a pair of needle-nose pliers. He must have been using them to break in my car.
Right.
He tried to stab me with them. But I grabbed his hand, and we're wrestling, and unfortunately he dropped them. But then he hit me, and he knocked me down.
Wow.
So now I'm really mad. I mean, I get up, because it didn't hurt that much, but I'm mad. So I get up, I go, come on. And so at this point, he looked at me, and he just went, and he walked away. We both were tired. And I said to myself, let him go, because I'm exhausted too. So I let him go. Point, the cops come, the police, the cops, the Bronx, the cops. Okay, the cops come, and he's about a quarter of a mile down. They go now. I tell him, get him. He's in my car. One police officer comes with me. I'm showing him what happened, and the other cops go get him. He swings at the cops. I'm looking down. He takes a swing at the cops, and so they put him on the ground. They handcuffed him and take him away. Okay. I'm getting to the point of that. I am coming to a point. There's a point. So I go to work. I called and I told them what happened. I get to the office and there's all these women in the office. They're like, oh, Bill, are you okay? You okay? And I'm like, yeah, girl, I'm fine. I handled my business. Yeah, I'm good, you know.
You didn't tell them you got knocked out.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
You didn't tell them you got knocked out.
No, I didn't tell them that part. No, I didn't tell them. I left that part out.
Good.
I edited that part, yes. Right.
Yeah.
So I didn't get knocked out. I got knocked down. Okay.
Oh,
I knocked
okay.
Anyway, let me be clear. Anyway, so... But there was one coworker, and her name was O'Dallas. She looked at me and she said, Bill, if he had a gun, he could have killed you. And at that point, it all just came crashing down on me how crazy I was to do that. And I just, it just really, I couldn't believe it. So the next couple of days, I kept thinking, why would I start a fight knowing that I don't know how to fight? And then I realized that's the way I had been living my entire life.
Yikes.
I had been starting things, not knowing how to get out of it, and just try to fight my way through it, and I was doing that with my money. I would just buy things. All I cared about was how much did it cost a month. That's all I cared about. Oh, it's only $7 a month. I can afford that. It's only $100 a month. I can afford that. And I was just racking up debt. So at this point, I realized that I needed to change. I said, I can't keep living like this. I can't keep doing crazy, stupid things like this. So I decided to get myself together. I started reading books on finances. I took Dave Ramsey's course, Financial Peace. I did that 9-week course. I got out of debt. It took me 2 years, but I got out of debt. I also started taking Krav Maga, too, which is Israeli self-defense. But I said, if I'm going to get in a fight, I need to know what I'm doing. So I started taking Krav Maga. And that turned my life around. That one event, I realized that I needed to change my life because I had the wrong mindset. And I had to stop just doing things crazy, but I needed to get my life together. So I got out of debt, and that got me, after getting out of debt, I wanted to start investing. And that's when I started learning about J.L. Collins, Choose FI, and I just started reading and learning more about investing.
Wow. Can you say that epiphany for us again, please?
Which part was that? No. I realized that was the way I was living my entire life. Just starting things and not knowing how it was going to work out with no plan. Just swing at it. Just swing at it and hopefully it'll work out. And I realized that I had to stop doing it. I had to grow up, basically.
Wow. Thank
really
you.
Learn how to live properly.
Okay. Now, I have a few questions, but one I want to ask specifically to this. Do you think that a lot of times or sometimes we get into these situations like that, not knowing, not preparing ourselves because we don't feel like we have the time to do it. Maybe we just need to catch up to everybody else and just try to weigh the water while almost drowning, as opposed to just taking our time to actually learn how to swim and actually go out and swim.
Yeah, I think for some people that may be their reason. Other people are just trying to keep up with the Joneses, and whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. Just trying to look good, even though in the back, you know, if you went behind the scenes, you could see they're struggling. I was like that. If you saw me on the street, I mean, I looked nice. I had on nice clothes and things like that. You would never guess that I was drowning in debt, but I was drowning in debt. And many times people just, they figure, well, we'll get out of it somehow. And then I've also heard the mentality is that, well, that's just the way everybody is. Everybody has debt. You know, you're always going to have a payment for something. And I kind of bought into that too. But I realized that it was disrupting my sleep. I mean, I hated owing money. I hated. I mean, I hated. One time I even got in debt with the IRS. I hate to tell all my business to online, but I got in debt. I mean, I paid it off, IRS. I did. I paid it off. But I couldn't even sleep. I remember my hands, my skin was peeling from my hands because I was under so much stress because I owed this money to the IRS. And everybody knows, you know, you owe to the IRS what they can do. So I said to myself, I can't keep living like this. I can't have it. It took away my peace. It really did. It took away my peace. So that helped me to wake up.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. And I think that's a great realization that everybody on this call can benefit from, because I'm sure there are different people from all walks of life. But I think at some point in some area of our life, we can definitely resonate with that story and with that lesson. So since you know, it's only been a couple months, you've been a Better Investing member. Could you talk to us a little bit about the community you've recognized so far in Better Investing? I will get to the fire one, but sometimes I think we can underestimate the good influence of being connected. And sometimes I think when we are trying to dig ourselves out of debt or trying to repair our credit history, we can do it in shame and isolation instead of kind of plugging into already existing supporting communities of people that are the contrary to what other people were telling you. You know, these people don't have any debt and they've been investing and they're in investment clubs, like Jackie mentioned, you know, with you. So could you talk a little bit about the Better Investing community as you've recognized it for the past couple months?
I'm glad you asked that question, because I have been blown away by the Better Investing community. Because like you said, I did have a certain impression of people that invested. I would look at the TV commercials from TD Ameritrade and Merrill Lynch, and I would say, I could never be like that. That's for those kind of people. That's not for me. I mean, where am I going to get the money to invest? But ever since I've gotten involved with Better Investing, the people have been wonderful. I'll give you a couple examples. We all know about Jackie. Jackie has been fantastic. Just the fact that she even talked to me was even great. I'm a stranger.
Right. Shout out to Jackie.
Yeah, shout out to Jackie again. And she has spent time with me and my book club, the guys. It's a male book club. And not that we don't like, you know, women, but it's just the fellas. That's the name of the book club. And she has spent time with us, helping us. She has gone over her story and some investment strategies, things like that. Then I'm going to name some names. Then there's Craig Jacobson. I went to Arizona back in January, and Marty Eckerly, who I'll come back to, Marty Eckerly told me about Craig, and I sent him an email, said, hey, Craig, I'm going to be in Arizona. He said, hey, we can get together. So we did. We got together in a Starbucks, and I was amazed. He spent, I think, about 2 hours with me in Starbucks just going over the SSG. Helping me to understand it. I was questioning him, and he didn't know me from anyone. That was the first time he ever, you know, met me, but he spent 2 hours with me. I mean, I really was impressed by that. Then Marty Eckerly, Jackie introduced me to him. I emailed Marty, and he got on the phone with my book club. He has spent hours with us on a couple of occasions explaining the SSG, explaining different things, just answering all our questions, being so patient. I mean, because we're asking him probably baby questions, and but you know, he never rolls his eyes and he answers all the questions. He's been so great. He even helped me try to find a book club. I mean, investment club in New York City. He went out of his way. So, and then there's someone else, Brian. I can't remember Brian's last name, but I went to a stock study group in New Jersey. And when I got there again, I'm new. They don't know me. I don't know them. By the end of the meeting, they took me into the cafeteria. It's a library. They took me into the cafeteria for them, sat me down at a table. And I think if I didn't tell them I had to go, we'd still be talking right now.
Wow.
I mean, they just spent time with me. They just poured into me, just answered all my questions. And I've kept in touch with a number of them afterwards. So the community has just been fantastic. I think it's so comforting to know that if I have questions, I have more than one source to get the answer. I've been impressed by the Better Investing community.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you've had such a wonderful experience, because that definitely is the trademark of Better Investing. But I'm going to hand it over quickly to Ann. She's saying that she wants to do a BI shout out.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent point to just share who we are and who we are not. Our official name is the National Association of Investors Corporation, what's called NAIC. Is now called Better Investing. And I just put in the chat and want to encourage everybody who's listening online that you can go to betterinvesting.org and get more details about the organization. Many of us, Ione myself and some of the others on the line, are part of different chapters. We're part of the South Florida chapter, South Florida East Coast chapter here in South Florida. The organization, we're not a nonprofit. We are a volunteer-driven educational organization founded in 1951 by a small group of individual investors looking for a better way. And I think that's the defining line, and Bill hit the nail right on the head about community. We are all still looking for a better way. And we're here to encourage all of you that's listening in, no matter where you are in life, you can have a seven-figure portfolio, serve, volunteer, become a part of who we are. Several years ago, the organization adopted the trade name of Better Investing because it makes it shorter and easier for people to remember and also to find the URL. It looks better on the magazine cover, and most importantly, it accurately describes who we are as a mission. And let me tell you very quickly who we're not, and I'll turn it back over to Ione. We are not day traders. No, we're not. We're not professional investment advisors or stockbrokers or bond traders. We don't deal in penny stocks. We don't teach buying on margin. And we don't teach technical analysis or charting. We're volunteers. So what we do is we volunteer. And since 1951, the organization was founded with the mission to educate individual investors. That's really what we do, and that's who we are. And I think that all of us, as we come on week to week to share with each of you, we're demonstrating who we are by example. And so now I send it back to you, Ione, and want to thank everybody. And if you have a question, please put your question in the chat. And if you're listening live on any of the platforms, social media, Facebook, or any of that, just type your questions to our awesome guest tonight, Bill, and or anybody else that is on volunteering, and we'll get to your question. So back to you, Ione. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So, Bill.
Yes.
Okay. Had to wait for you to pop up. I'm excited because you know about FIRE. Right. So for those that don't know, FIRE stands for Financial Independence. Sometimes they add the slash, retire early. From what I've been exposed to, kind of reading, whether it be blogs or articles or, hearing mentions, it's interesting because they are of my generation, a lot of them. But I believe it may have been a Money Magazine article that I read. There was a book written almost 30 years ago by this woman. Our generation happened to kind of pick up on her book. I forget the name of the book, but it basically talked about the lifestyle of living way below your means and having the courage to kind of, you know, save as much as you can and then live your life eco-friendly, green, all of that stuff. So, Jackie Cosey says, Vicki Robin, Your Money, Your Life. I believe that is the name of the book. Somebody also quickly asked about our Better Investing chapter. SFL is the South Florida chapter of Better Investing. So yes, Vicki Robin wrote Your Money, Your Life. Talk to us a little bit about when you found out about the FIRE community and what type of inspiration or, you know, ideas or thoughts or just everything that you kind of experienced when you came into that community.
Well, I won't say I'm in that community because I'm a lot older than
still on the peripheral.
You, and I won't be able to retire early. I learned about it, I guess, maybe a year before I even heard Jackie. And it intrigued me because I was thinking if I had just started earlier, like we were talking about before, if I had started with my father when I was young and if he had taught me, then maybe I could be like Jackie. She retired at age 49. I mean, which is amazing to me because I would love to, when I retire, I want to do something where I can maybe educate others, things like that. I have free time. But what's amazing to me about the FIRE community is that they're living below their means. Some may say some of them are cheap. I don't know. You know, depends on your viewpoint. But I know in talking with Jackie, she's lived a pretty good life. She doesn't seem to be cheap. And she's done a lot of things. She has a home, things like that. But if you just consistently invest, you can retire. You don't have to wait till you're 65 to retire. You can retire much earlier, and then you can go on to what's called now your encore career, where you can get involved in things that maybe that your heart really wants to be involved in, charities or any type of organizations, volunteering, things like that. So I wish I had learned about it earlier, but I'm hoping to be able to retire within the next couple of years. That's my goal. But I am not 49 like Jackie, though.
Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting because I just watched a documentary about women in their later years having second, third careers. There's a black woman that became the mayor of Evanston, a suburb of Chicago, Illinois, at like 78.
Wow.
And they came to her saying, hey, we want you to be the mayor. For our town, and now it's grown into a city. So I think that with the lifespan of people increasing, men and women, I think we may even do ourselves a disservice when we don't even imagine the fact that we could actually be actively living 80 to 90 years old. And so even if we're 50, that's still a 30-year horizon that, you know, we may be underestimating. Could you talk to us a little bit about...
Before you change the subject, can I talk about that a little bit? Because that's my number one passion, anti-aging and wellness. That's something I really want to do, and I want to learn more. I'm so involved with learning. There is so much happening now in the anti-aging and wellness field where they're saying that not our lifespan, but our health span can easily go into the 90s and maybe even beyond, where we'll be healthy, we'll be able to do things. It's not like it was, you know, 50, 60, 70 years ago. It's amazing what's able to be done now. So that's my thinking is that, okay, I want to stay as healthy as possible. So this way, when I am 70 or 80, I'll be able to still do plenty of things. My mind will be sharp. My body will be able, I'll still be able to do things. So this way, I'm looking at it, I still have half my life left. That's the way I look at it. If I stay healthy.
Exactly. And it's interesting you brought that up because last year I read a book called Ikigai, I-K-I-G-A-I. But it really featured this community in Japan of centenarians. or centenarians, I think that's the word. But yeah, there's a pocket in California of communities of people, that are living well, living healthy, full of energy, and they are, you know, 90, 100 plus years old. So it definitely is possible. I did want to ask, kind of keeping to the same theme, fire community theme, are there for, you know, a lot of people on the call may have never even heard of fire. What are two to three true takeaways if you had to represent the fire community and communicate to us those principles? What are those two to three principles that you can share with us?
Well, number one is, start investing early and consistently, dollar cost averaging, just putting money in every month, a consistent amount every month, and don't stop. The earlier, the better. I mean, Jackie shows the charts in her slides, and I've seen them in other places too, and I'm not going to try to say the exact dollar figures, but if you start at a certain age, it doesn't take, you know, 60, 70 years to be a millionaire. If you start young, when you're in your 30s, 40s, possibly, depending on how much you put away, you could be a millionaire. And then, so that's the first thing. The second thing is living below your means. You said that before. That's just common sense, but sadly, common sense is not common anymore. And just living below your, not trying to impress your neighbors, your coworkers with the big car and the furs and things like that. It's just a waste. I mean, if you have the means to get those things and still live below your means, that's fine, wonderful. But living beyond your means just brings stress, and it just slows down your progress so that later on when you do want to retire, you may not be able to because you've been, as some say, you've been balling out. And so now you want to retire at age 65 and you can't because you don't have the funds. So those two takeaways I think resonated with me when I learned about FIRE. I wish I had started earlier, but there's a saying, the best time to start investing was yesterday. The second best time is now. And that's what I did. I started investing right away when I learned about it. And second, I have definitely lowered my standards where I'm not living beyond my means.
Well, that's a perfect segue. Let's talk about the very first share of stock that you bought. I know you talked a little bit about your first money experiences and then getting out of debt. I know you have a wonderful get out of debt story. If you want to share that, and then let's talk about how you fundamentally took action on the investing. When it was, what did you buy?
Well, I'll start with that part. The easiest way, the way I did it was I just looked at my 403B at work, or it's a 401K if you have that, or I'm in a hospital, so it's a 403B. And I read J.L. Collins, his Simple Path to Wealth, his book, and also his stock series. And he really highlighted, and also a lot of the FIRE community, they highlight Vanguard, and you know, because very low fees. I was amazed at how much fees add up over the years. You know, if you're using a financial advisor or if you just investing in mutual funds and you're not paying attention, if you look at it, and I thought this way too, it says 1% fee. Oh, that's no big deal. 1%, that's nothing. That adds up. It is tremendous after, you know, 20 years or so, how much that adds up. So I looked at my 403B and I didn't know anything. I just went online, went to Fidelity, just looked at what I was invested in because automatically put me in different funds. I looked at what I had and I saw the fees I was paying and I said, oh my goodness, I didn't know. So I made the switch. I just changed them all over to different Vanguard funds. So now, you know, I've gotten rid of those fees. So that was the first thing I did, was I just made that adjustment. And then I just started watching it grow. And then I also, another adjustment, I increased my
contribution amount.
My contribution. Thank you. I increased that progressively. I got it up to 15%, then I even got it up to 20%. So I did that. So I just started seeing it grow. It just started growing. Then also recently, and it's almost just kind of like fun and games, I started just buying some individual stocks. And of course, I know you guys have to put the disclaimer out there. I'm not making any recommendations to buy or sell anything. Please.
No, we're not. This entire thing is for educational purposes only.
There you go. Right. You're not suing me for anything. Okay.
I don't have anything.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay. I started recently with, because my big thing is, this is just me. I really feel once this coronavirus is, you know, hopefully gets under control, people want to go back to being normal. They want to start going on vacations again. I think they're going to want to start cruising again. And I just saw an article in Yahoo Finance, Carnival, their bookings have skyrocketed recently. So I've been buying shares of Royal Caribbean and Carnival. Right now, it's not doing that well. It made a little money, but I'm looking 2 years down the road, 3 years down the road, long term, 10 years. I believe people are going to start cruising again. And so I'm buying it now when it's dirt cheap. It's all on sale. So I've just been buying little, you know, my little discretionary income. I put $100 into that, you know, whatever, and then buy a couple of shares. And I'm hoping for the best. I'm keeping my fingers crossed, but I'm putting in the amount of money where if I lose it, I'm not going to lose any sleep. I'm not putting in astronomical amounts of money. So those are the two things I'm doing. Number one is my 403B. That's the main focus. And then just buying some different things here or there.
Okay. Well, I think that's perfect. I'm going to come back to the 401K, but let me ask, you're a Better Investing member. You're buying individual stocks now. Have you began to use the tools at like the SSG, the Stock Selection Guide of Better Investing? Kind of walk us through your experience with that. Was there hesitation? Did you dive in? Do you know what you're doing? Talk to us about that.
Yeah, I'm still hesitating. Marty and Craig and Jackie, they've walked me through it. It's still kind of complicated to me, but I haven't devoted the amount of time that I should. So what I've been doing, and this may be cheating, but the Cincinnati Model Club, they have their meetings. I listen in, and I just listen to their recommendations. Like they were talking about Visa at one of the meetings. And I like what I heard, so I went and bought some Visa. It's like, I hate to put it that way. I let them do the research, and I go out and I buy it, whatever. But eventually, I am going to get more involved in doing my own studies. And what I like is when you go to the website, you can look at all the other studies that people have done. So the tools are there. I just have to spend more time getting more comfortable with it.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about your book club. Now, is it a book club / investment club?
Yes. Not officially an investment club because we're not at the point where we feel, because we went through, I think Brian and also Marty went with us, the steps it would take to start a club, and it's a lot.
Right.
So we felt we're all too new for that. We didn't want to start a club. So like I said, Jackie and Marty, and they've been talking with us. Also, Brian talked with us on the phone. So they joined Better Investing.
Okay.
And what we did was we started some of the books that we would read together. They started to be more investment-oriented. Like we read T. Harv Eker, the Millionaire Mindset. We read that together. We discussed that. And so we're starting to now read more books that have to do with investing. So we are book club officially, but we're not in an official investment club, but we're helping each other. Matter of fact, another one of the members of the book club, Jackie, helped him to get started with his investing. She helped him open up accounts and things like that. So we're on our way. We're supporting each other. And matter of fact, if I could say, if I don't forget, we're starting a podcast. We're going to start a podcast, and Jackie is a part of the podcast. Our target date is hopefully the first or second week of June, where we're going to talk about wealth, health, and personal development. It's called the Why Didn't I Know That podcast with Jackie, Mark Williams, and Todd Beeland, and myself. So we're going to talk about these things. We've had some next-level conversations, and we think people will enjoy listening to our conversations, and we think they'll benefit from it. So look for that. All my friends, I'll be sending out links to that hopefully in the beginning of June.
Well, that's actually wonderful. Say the name of the podcast again.
Why Didn't I Know That?
Why Didn't I Know That?
Jackie came up with that name. I'll give her the credit. She came up with that name.
Jackie is a genius, though.
Yeah, she's all right. Yeah, she's all right. Because we feel that the things we're going to talk about, people, as they're listening, they're going to say, well, why didn't I know that? It's the type of conversations we'll have, the things that we've learned about investing, about, like I said, health and wellness, things like that, personal development. I have Todd is a personal trainer. Mark is, he helps brand people. So we're going to talk about how to develop ourselves for our money, our health, and also just our whole persona.
Well, that sounds amazing. I'm going to be sure to check it out at least the premiere episode, I want to see, because those are to me, even to me, important topics. I don't talk about investing or I don't talk about health a lot, but I know that every day I do something toward it, because it is really those little steps that add up over time that, you know, let you separate from the pack.
Sure. Very good. I mean, one thing one of my philosophies is that there are three things that you have to take care of, and to me, they're equally important: your money, your health, and your relationships. And each one affects the other. If your health is bad, that can affect your money and your relationships. If your money is bad, that can affect your relationships and your health. So we have to take care of all three of those areas. And so our podcast is really going to focus on those areas and helping all of us to take care of those.
Wow. Yeah, no, you make a really good point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because as I think about what you said, that's where a lot of compensation comes in. If we feel one is lacking, let's say relationships, sometimes we're trying to throw money at it, or,
right,
you know, just, or we're sacrificing health for money.
Right.
You know, it really is an intricate triangle.
Yeah.
One interesting thing that I noticed about your story, and I don't know if you know this, but because Better Investing is a national nonprofit organization that focuses on investment education for investment clubs and individuals, a lot of investment clubs actually start off that way. They start off focusing on the education before they even put money in.
Okay.
I know one of my mom's investment clubs started off by reading money books together and collectively getting on the same page, I think for about a year, if not a year and a half, before they even decided, okay, we're going to put $25 a month together. Because, and I do want to say this, because a lot of times people hear the phrase investment club, but they don't know what it is. So I think that knowing that you have the support system through Better Investing, and an investment club is not something you need to rush into. It really is something that is a long-term partnership. You know, that's why when we really do it, it's legal documents and we're all equal partners and you're putting in the same amount of money, because you're having an equal relationship. You're talking about something you may not be comfortable with if it's just money. But it's with the intent to grow, not just grow your money, but grow your mind and understanding and awareness of the subject. So I think, you know, you're on the right path, even without knowing it.
Thank you. That's something I've noticed when I went to the stock study group in New Jersey and also the Cincinnati Club. I've been amazed at what people know. And they're talking about things, and some of the time I don't understand what they're saying, but if I know if I, and I have done it, I'll put my, because you can tell I talk, because I don't have a problem. So I'll put my hand up and I'll say, what does that mean? And no one is offended. They just, it's like everything stops and they just break it down, where make it to where I can understand it. And one thing, I hope I get the person's name, I think it's in the Cincinnati Club, Mary.